Nick Nurse is telling Van Vliet to get back into the lane, play defense there, because, again, just 0.9 on the shot. Embiid turns, fires for the win. Joel Embiid and the Sixers take game three here in Toronto.
And the crowd is silent.
That's Kate Scott a la Abdel Nabi the other night as Embiid hits that last second shot in overtime to win the game. And Ray, I don't know about if you got to see this, because I on social media looked, and the crew over at NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jim Lynham, Mark Jackson, Amy Fadul, they had the inside camera.
Okay, those are always fun.
A little celebration there, Amy. And I'm thinking it's mostly you guys thought like, oh, good. There's not going to be a double overtime and come right on the air.
Exactly. Jim had called overtime early on, and I was like, don't say that, Jim. It's not actually free basketball. It costs us a lot. Come on. It costs us our time. But he was such a cool customer during that. That is the video, if you've seen it, is Jimmy is everybody that's seen it and done it before, and Mark Jackson is every other person across the Delaware Valley, I think, that just lost their minds. Mm-hmm. Mark couldn't continue. He literally is running around the studio. Luckily, I could actually air that video, because sometimes the videos I take at the end are not airable. They're not so safe for work, but they were all good on that one. But
please.
Jim was cool as a cucumber right there, just said incredible.
I've seen the ones with Ray Dittinger dropping all kinds of not suitable for work words. We all know. We know those, don't we?
Well, I remember the day of double doink. Barrett Brooks actually jumping out of his seat and running around the set when that actually happened. So we've all been there for those moments. But, Amy, going into the series, I mean, there was a lot of talk about how the Sixers had played down the stretch, the problems they were having, how they weren't exactly peaking for the postseason. And there was a lot of concern about the Raptors, because they're a good team and the Sixers didn't match up with them particularly well. How did you, you know, looking down the barrel of it before it began, how tough a series did you think this was going to be for the Sixers? You probably didn't expect them to be sitting here 3-0 right now.
No, I predicted Sixers in either six, and actually I kind of thought maybe seven. I thought the Sixers would pull it out, just because at the end of the day, you know, Embiid being who he is going to be your deciding factor, because I thought they matched up a little too well. The way that Toronto plays, the physicality that they have and the size, you know, they're just able to throw a lot of different things. And when you go small ball, sometimes that hurts Joel Embiid, because they might call a lot of the fouls on him and you don't want him to get into foul trouble. So it was concerning. Obviously, Nick Nurse, they're a very good defensive team, so you didn't think the Sixers were going to be able to put up all these points like they had been doing in the early days of the James Harden trade. You thought it was going to be a little bit more like what you saw towards the end of the season, which wasn't, as you mentioned, Ray, wasn't necessarily good. They would build these leads and then they would give them right back and either have to squeak out a win over the Pacers or the Pistons, or they would lose those games. And you're thinking, wow, against a better coached, more talented Raptors team, that would turn into a loss going away. So there was definitely some concern. I thought it would go the distance. I thought it would go close to the distance. I did not think that they would solve the Raptors so quickly. But that first game, the Raptors clearly had no answer for Tyrese Maxey, and he was able to do whatever he wanted. He went inside, outside. And then the second game, you know, saw Joel Embiid obviously assert himself, Maxey still, and Tobias Harris, two very solid games out of the gate. So I think that just that three-headed monster, whomever it is, being the third guy to step up, has been so huge for them and been a surprise, because the Raptors, they do a lot of junk defenses. I mean, listen, they run zone. They run a lot of different things. I mean, Jim will talk about how they will run triangle and some box and one and things like that. And you're thinking, wow, you know, that usually stymies the Sixers, and it hasn't. Maybe that week of almost like a mini training camp when the play-in games were going on helped the Sixers get a little bit of cohesiveness when it comes to different defenses that are going to be thrown at them, because I thought that they answered everything the Raptors had out of the gate. Even when the Raptors kind of came out strong in game two and game three, you're thinking, uh-oh, Sixers answered, and then they put them away. Obviously, it was a little bit of a trouble spot in Toronto. You knew it was going to be, but 24 turnovers, I don't expect them to have that kind of number again.
Yeah, no. You mentioned Tobias Harris, who has had a very good series, and he's a guy who certainly gets a lot of flack in this town. I think much of it is related to his contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's generally agreed he's not worth the contract he gets, but he's had a very good series, and I thought really picked up his play when James Harden came in, and maybe it's as simple as having a real point guard?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. He's had to change his role wholeheartedly. I mean, he's a catch-and-shoot guy almost now, and I don't know that that was always him. I think, you know, he defensively in this series has probably been what I've come away with. He has been tasked with guarding Pascal Siakam a lot of times, which is not an easy task. He is a guy that's really physical and can move for his size. We all know that. He's a very adept, skilled and scorer. So for Tobias Harris to be on him, I think it's pretty good. And so you see what he's been able to do on some of the guys. He's been on Fred VanVleet at different times, but most of the time he's been on Siakam and a little bit on Gary Trent Jr. But it's interesting because you're right, Glenn. I mean, obviously when you give a guy the max contract, you're expecting him to be consistently good, reliable all the time, maybe a dip here and there, but it's almost been the opposite. Now, last year, obviously, was a really good year for Tobias, and this year he struggled. He struggled out of the gates before Harden got here, and then he struggled when Harden got here. And so I think it's been a learning curve for him, and this whole new role that he's been kind of set up with, I think that he's finally comfortable with it. But it's such a different role for him to be able to run the court and then find a spot and then look for the ball to be passed to him. And you mentioned having a true point guard, obviously, you know, when Ben Simmons was not here, they didn't have that. Tyrese Maxey was the point guard, and he's a fine point guard. There's nothing wrong with him. But let's face it, he is a better off-ball player.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
He does very well with that. So it was different for Tobias Harris all of a sudden midstream. I mean, it wasn't even midstream. And let's face it, it was like almost three quarters of the way through the season. It was like different. You know, you need to run the floor. You need to find your spot, and James Harden will find you. So I think he's actually like come into his own a little bit, and he's being a little bit more aggressive. I think that's what we've seen from the Sixers as a whole. Joel Embiid is always aggressive. James Harden is always looking for his shot. But Maxey, we saw sometimes, you know, maybe it took a step back, and now he's saying he's going to be super aggressive. And I think Tobias Harris is saying that too. That's not in his nature. He's not that guy. But I think he's realizing that he has to be that guy because you don't know when you're going to get the ball, and he's going to have to go ahead and make something happen because of it. He can't just wait for the opportunity.
Yeah, I know that down at NBC, people tease you a lot about the Kentucky connection. Everybody knows that you're a UK grad, and you're still loyal to your Wildcats. So there was always a certain you always were very fond of Maxey from the time he mm-hmm. arrived, but this year. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what you've seen him in terms of his development, I mean, the kid is a star. I mean, and you can just see he's just starting out. What fun he is to watch. And, I always kind of think the measure of an athlete in this town is when you see people walking around and they're wearing his jersey. And in the last few weeks, I've actually begun to see some Maxey shirts happening around me. And to me, that's a sign that I think that he's really on his way to becoming a big-time player.
Yeah, we talk about that. You know, Jim Lynham said it, I think, at the beginning of this year when we saw Maxey kind of take that first step. His trajectory, and I said it, his trajectory is no longer like up a hill. It's almost a straight line straight up because he has shown with the opportunity that he can be a star. He is a star. This guy's going to be an all-star if it's not next year, the year after. But he's just, that's one of the really nice silver linings of the whole Ben Simmons saga. We would not have seen this from Tyrese Maxey because we would have had a starting point guard in the Sixers lineup, and you would have not been able to see what Tyrese Maxey could do. I think that his development, he took what his coach said last year. Doc Rivers said, listen, if you remember, he didn't play much in the playoffs and towards the end of the season. He said, listen, I can't rely on you as a shooter. I need you to improve your shot. You're not a good, you're not taking high volume threes. You're not taking good threes. He was a 30% three-point shooter, which was the knock on him in college, in his short year of college. So he did. I've never seen anybody raise their three-point percentage by over 13 points. He was an over 40, at this point, he's like almost a 45% three-point shooter. But his trajectory now is perennial all-star, I think. And I don't say, I do say that as a homer because I did pick him for the Sixers to draft at 21, and I am completely biased when it comes to this kid. But he is so much fun to watch, and he has the best time. I mean, he's so likable. To your point, Ray, people, I think, gravitate towards him because they like the way he plays on the court. That's obvious. But then you see the way that he is having fun, and he always has a smile on his face, and he's just so interested in getting better and learning and being the best he can be for his team. I just think that really resonates with a lot of people, and they just look at him and think, wow, this kid's going places. And you know, the Sixers, they can sign him to an extension, I think, next year that would tack on, obviously, is one more year of his rookie deal. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try to max that kid out because he plays so well on this team and with these guys. I would be really disappointed if he wasn't here for a long time.
I think he has the opportunity to become a long time mm-hmm. star and legend in this town. We have just two more quick questions, a couple more quick questions we want to ask you. I want to know any inclination on Embiid's thumb and what it may, how it may impact today's game.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously, we noticed when he had that dunk, and then he also had a shot before that that I see, or a defensive block before that, and you're thinking, uh-oh. And he started grabbing it. We all saw him obviously grab it, and he started, like, shaking it. You know, the reports are that it could be some ligament damage. Obviously, we haven't heard or hear from Doc today. I think he's speaking in about 10 minutes on it. We saw him come wrapped up, his thumb come wrapped up. Obviously, it didn't affect his shot at the very end of the game. He's been able to play through a lot. I mean, I think for him, it's about getting across the finish line, and that means past the second round. I mean, he's been very, very open about what he wants to do this season, and it's nothing to do with, you know, MVP. But I think he'll go. I think he'll go until he can't physically go. And that's a little bit, obviously, of a concern because they are going to get past the Raptors, whether it's today or Monday. That's happening. You don't want to set him up for failure in the next round where you're going to be without, you know, the MVP in a lot of people's minds. So my inclination is that he plays. If they can give him any kind of, you know, break, and they don't have to play him the entire game. I mean, he played 45 minutes the last game, plus almost all the starters played 45 minutes in the last game, obviously, with the overtime. It would be really nice to give him a little rest. He can get maybe some treatment. But it seems like, and we'll have a little bit more clarity, it seems like it's an injury that's going to linger, and he's just going to have to, you know, see how he can play through it, whether it's bandaging it up, whether it's, you know, getting some treatment on it every game, maybe at halftime as well. But, you know, everybody's banged up right now, and you're seeing – some of the superstars across the league getting banged up. And it's disappointing because you want everything to be, you know, everybody to be healthy and to be all fair and square. But I think for him, he's going to go until he physically can't move that hand, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. I kind of agree with you. If it doesn't end today, I think it will certainly end the next game when they come back to Philadelphia. And then on they go. I mean, of the teams that are out there, is there one team that you look at and say, yeah, I don't want to take those guys on? Or do you think the way they're playing right now, you're willing to take on anybody in the East?
Yeah. You know what? I don't know that I would have said that before the playoffs started, Ray. I think I would have been like, well, I don't know. Like, that Bucks team concerns me. But you're seeing, when you watch the other series, you're seeing cracks in the armor. The Celtics obviously are very, very skilled, and they've been there before, and we know that they're well coached, and we know all that. But that's probably the only team that I would be like, oh, that one would be a series. That would be really pretty strong. But that's if the Celtics get there. I mean, obviously they're up 2-0.
It ain't going to be the Nets, Amy.
Yeah,
come on now. It's not going to be the Nets.
Sidebar, I love that they're thinking about dropping Ben Simmons in a series if they're down 3. Like, that's insane.
I know. Oh, it's going to be great.
He hasn't played basketball since June.
Come on. It's going to be enjoyable for us.
Let's be honest. You're right. But no,
I
think the Celtics are the only team that I would look at and be like, wow. Because I think they can match up well with the Bucks. Obviously, there's some injuries with Chris Middleton. And then the Heat, you know, you never really know. They run that zone as well. But the Sixers proved that they can get around it. And the way they're shooting the three right now, if they hit some of those, the zone really kind of becomes null and void. So I would hope that they could get – I mean, it's been over 20 years since they've gotten past the second round. That's really – that's the goalpost for me. Like, at minimum, Eastern Conference Finals is just – I just don't see how – they can't. They're playing so well. I don't want it to be derailed.
All these years have built up to them.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
Over 20 years.
I know. And it can't be stalled because of Embiid injury. That would
exactly.
be that would be the terrible ending to it. Amy Fadul Kane, always a pleasure. You can follow her on Twitter at Amy Fadul NBCS. You're on today before and after?
That's right. 1:30, we have our pregame, and then right after, we'll bring you all the post-game highlights, maybe a little video from Jimmy and Mark. We'll have to see how this one goes. But yes, of course, we'll be on right after the game and right before at 1:30.
All right. Remind Jimmy that he's coming on with us tomorrow at 11.
I sure will.
Okay.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks a ton.
All
right.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Amy.
To you then. There you go. Good stuff.
She's great.
Yeah.
I've so enjoyed working with her. She's really terrific.
Pro.
She really is.
Yeah. All right. Good. Appreciate that. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up in the next one. We'd like to get some calls in. This is a good time to do it. Coming up in the next segment, I want to talk to you about the latest guy, presumably on the trade market, that every Eagles fan needs the team to get.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a very serious story that has come out of Flyers world this week. Another bad look for that franchise.
Okay.
And whatever else you want to kick in there.
Okay.
Oh, I got a Ben Simmons thing, speaking of which. Yes. Try to get it all.
Of course.
Yes. But we'll also talk to the people. 215-592-9494. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. 94 WIP.
Pressure coming. Garoppolo hit as he throws. A wobbler down the sideline, and it's caught. Deebo Samuel with the catch and trying to turn on the Jets. He'll take it all the way for the touchdown.
Ray, that is one of the most exciting young players in the league, and I am not referring to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo Samuel.
Yep. I get no argument here.
Almost took him to the Super Bowl. Almost took him to win in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
However, he's unhappy. He wants to be traded. Mm-hmm. This became public knowledge this week. He is a unique player, Ray, because he's a wide receiver and running back. Scored 14 touchdowns last year, 8 of them rushing. Carried the ball 78 times. Averaged 18 yards per catch. He's good inside. He's a yak man, Ray.
Yes, he is.
Always looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it, of course, whenever anybody in the league wants to be traded, there are many people in this town who feel the immediate need to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the day before him, story was out that Kyler Murray wanted to be traded, and so everybody wanted Kyler Murray here.
Right.
And by the way, Deebo Samuel is a great player. I'm about to tell you why I don't think the Eagles should trade for him.
Okay.
But he's a great player. But there's a couple of problems. One is, the report out of San Francisco, and I don't cover the team, so I can't confirm it, but this is the report, is one of the reasons he wants out is he doesn't like the offense, and he no longer wants to be used as a running back. He just wants to be a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what makes him a great player, in my mind, is nobody else does what he does.
No, exactly. He's unique.
If you take that away, doesn't he lose value?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't make him a less than great player, but it makes him less useful in your offense because it limits what he can do.
Right.
What makes him one of a kind in today's NFL is that he can be both of those things. I mean, he's the one that invented the name for himself, wide back. Yeah, I mean, he took pride in the fact that he could be both and was both. I mean, you're talking about a guy who last year, think about these numbers. He averaged 18 yards per reception, mm-hmm, and 6.5 yards per rushing attempt.
Amazing.
I mean, every time he touched the ball, he was getting you a first down.
Yep.
So, and the ability that he's both talented enough and smart enough, this is the other part of it, and smart enough to learn two positions and play that well is what establishes his value.
Right. And if he doesn't want to do it, the report is he doesn't want to do it because running backs have shorter shelf lives and he feels he's going to limit his career over the years, and that may be correct. I can't argue with it. But mm-hmm. So if he is traded and is just traded as a wide receiver, would I love to see him on the Eagles? Of course I would. Of course I would.
Sure.
Here's my problem with it. One, it's going to cost you 2 first-rounders.
Yes, I do. I think
that market's kind of been established, right? Tyreek Hill and all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two, wide receivers have become the hot ticket and are now getting quarterback money.
Right.
This is a new thing. I mean, the old argument was always like, you can win with any wide receivers. You got to build your lines. You got to get your quarterback, get your pass rush. Grab a couple wide receivers. Don't spend a lot of money on wide receivers. That's out the door.
Yeah. I never really believed that anyway, but that was the thinking a while ago.
But it's gone completely to the opposite, where wide receivers are becoming the highest paid players in the league.
Well, yeah, and, if you're going to pay that kind of money to Davante Adams, okay, I get it, because he's that good. But what really blew the top off the whole thing was Christian Kirk.
Three at 75?
Good player, but, I mean, paying him like a superstar.
Yeah, right. If Christian Kirk is going to get $25 million a year, Deebo Samuel is going to get more than that. And if I am the Eagles and I am apportioning my money, I can't do it. I mean, I love the shiny toy. I love the beautiful thing in the window, but it doesn't mean it's the smart thing to get.
Right.
I don't know if you know, I mean, that's my position. I don't know if you agree or do. Oh, there, look, Matt Ryan is punting on TV. Sorry, I'm watching my favorite punter.
Oh, yeah, they're doing a whole piece about
wow.
him on ESPN.
Wow, okay,
right
there you
now.
Go. Eagles next punter.
He's impressive.
I just got distracted by the other shiny toy.
Yes.
Okay, Deebo Samuel, Ray, those are my arguments. Do you want to tell me they're brilliant or not?
I would be more open to it than you are. I share your concerns, but I recognize what a special player he is. Now, I wasn't aware until you just were telling me the other day about his expressed desire now. Look, I don't want to be doing that stuff anymore.
Again,
right?
Not reports he has confirmed, but reports by guys who cover the team out west.
Yeah, that if he doesn't want to do the running back thing anymore, yeah, that changes his impact. But let me offer you this. I agree with you that two first-round picks are definitely part of any package you would have to put on the table. They wouldn't even entertain thinking about it if you didn't. If I were to say, okay, here's what you could do, and the Eagles are in position to do this. One of your two first-rounders this year,
mm-hmm.
okay, one of your two first-rounders next year, which you have, and one of your third-round picks this year, of which you have two.
Mm-hmm.
So give them one of your number ones this year, one of your number threes this year, and one of your number ones next year,
mm-hmm.
where it wouldn't leave you naked in any of those rounds. You'd still have two first-round picks, one this year, one next year, and you would still have a pick in the third round this year. So
okay.
So you'd be giving up multiples in each of those categories, and that might be enough to get it done.
All right.
If indeed the 49ers are willing to part with the guy. The 49ers haven't said that they're willing to
do
that.
No, and if I'm them, I just kind of wait and hope that it blows over. But so here's the other part. So let's say, okay, you're ready to make that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on the line with Deebo Samuel's agent. Hi, Mr. Roseman. How are you? Yeah, listen, here's our offer. 4 years, $140 million. Will you take it or leave it?
I don't know what they'd be asking for. They'd be asking.
Well, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
That's probably a little high.
I mean, what did Tyreek Hill get? Do you know?
Something pretty close to that.
Yeah.
But Tyreek Hill is a little bit like Samuel in that he plays multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if you ask a guy to do too much, and I think Samuel's probably looking around at. You know, Carolina decided that's what they were going to do with Christian McCaffrey. And now look at Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Samuel's looking at that and saying, you know, if I try to do that, I'm going to have a really short career.
So we'll get him a little cheaper?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think everything's negotiable. But I understand people's fascination with him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anybody that saw the 49ers last year knew what a weapon this guy was. He's a really good receiver. He gets open. When he catches the ball in the open field, he becomes a running back in a way that other receivers aren't. He knows how to run. He knows how to break tackles. He's strong enough to break tackles, but he can also run with vision and strength inside. There's really nobody else in the league quite like him. I mean, he really is. And in the hands of a creative coach, which I kind of think Nick Sirianni has shown a little bit of that, I mean, he could be a major weapon. You're talking about ways you could try to improve Jalen Hurts. You get him a player like Deebo Samuel, your quarterback is going to instantly become better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of those are reasons to have the conversation, but I think when it comes down to the money and what they're looking for, I just don't think it's going to be a fit, Glenn.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Again, we'd all like it, but I agree.
I mean, I would explore it if I were them. If
sure.
if it really
I'm
came,
I'm making the phone call. Sure.
Yeah, I would certainly explore it, but I kind of have a feeling. I honestly kind of have a feeling that it's going to be one of these things that's going to be talked about, and it just ain't going to happen.
He's going to
be with the 49ers this year.
I guess, although it's amazing the guys that are getting traded these days.
Yeah, I know.
NFL was always a league where trades were few, and impact trades particularly, few and far between. A whole lot more now than you used to see.
Well, it's becoming more like the NBA. The players can force the issue.
Yes.
It used to be in the NFL, you could complain and stamp your feet, and the team would just say, so what? You're, mm-hmm. you're under contract. Go play. In the NBA, players have been making their own deals for a while now, and the NFL is becoming more like that.
Yeah. One other thing I want to talk about is completely unrelated, and it's a rough story that our friend Anthony Sanfilippo broke. Really good reporting here. Nice that there's one hockey reporter in town that actually covers the team critically and breaks stories. And the story is there's a lawsuit against the Flyers by two of the longtime trainers, Jim McCrossin, who's been there forever.
Very long time.
Right, who we all know, and Sal Raffa, who I don't particularly know. But they are alleging in a lawsuit that suing team ownership, I'm going to read Anthony's story here, after receiving similar medical diagnoses that they allege came from work environment in which they were unknowingly exposed to cancer-causing carcinogens, basically saying that at the team's practice facility, where the team dumped the junk coming off of the Zamboni for 18 years, exposed them to carcinogens, and they now both have a rare form of cancer. Of course, a lawsuit is a lawsuit and has to be proven. Flyers basically said, we don't think this has merit and aren't going to expound on it, because that's just, you know, you don't when you're the side getting sued, you don't say a lot.
Right.
You just say not true. So we'll see where the lawsuit goes. Again, very good reporting by Anthony. And regardless, just like another black eye for a franchise that has just got more black eyes than they have eyes.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they just can't do anything right on the ice, off the ice, in marketing, in business. It is the lowest I have seen any franchise during my 30 plus years here in Philadelphia. There are teams that are worse in the standings. I mean, the Sixers went through that whole process. But that was their plan.
Right.
Right? They knew they had a sense of what they were doing.
Right.
The Phillies had some really bad years. And I'm not talking recently. If you go back to the late 90s, the Phillies were dreadful. And the organization wasn't that well run. But this Flyers thing, It's like the franchise just has managed to make itself irrelevant, unpopular, and incompetent.
All of those things.
Yeah.
All of those
and
things.
And this story, you know, just kind of points more to problems that they have over there.
Yeah, I just thought the other night, and it comes on a night when they won. I mean, I sort of looked in on Flyers Canadiens, and I looked at those two teams.
Oh, jeez. Hey, they won. Actually, they won when they should stop winning, because they want them to get a better lottery.
Right. But, I mean, I'm looking at guys out there in Flyers uniforms and guys out there in Montreal uniforms who just flat out can't play, and that's what these two franchises, two of the real landmark franchises in that sport, that's what they've become. I mean, that's what they have become. And I remember, that's what the Flyers are now. I mean, I read a story. The Flyers played the Rangers a couple weeks ago and won the game. And I picked up the New York papers the next day, and all the New York papers wrote about was how embarrassing it was that the Rangers had lost to the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they referred to, Rangers lose to flightless Flyers. And then the story said, the Rangers, went through the motions and lost to an embarrassingly bad. I mean, that's what the Flyers have become now. I mean, they've become a team that other teams just don't even take seriously. And if they happen to win a game, the other team's reporters, it's all about how could you lose to this team?
Yep.
That's what the Flyers are now. Mm-hmm. That's what they have become. And, as somebody who's been following this team literally from day one, I hate to see where they are right now.
I
hate to sound fatalistic, but Glenn, they're in a hole. I don't know how they're going to dig themselves out of it.
Well, I know you were upset that you somehow missed the news that when Dave Scott spoke, whatever it was, a month or so ago, he said, Chuck Fletcher's our GM next year.
Yeah, I missed that. I didn't know that. Because I saw a story that was written by Wayne Fish in the Bucks County Courier-Times, who's been covering the team since I was covering the team. And he wrote this story about, what are the Flyers going to do moving forward? And it's just, it's everybody's common. It's assumed that the coach is going to go. But there were all these references to, what's Chuck Fletcher going to do to begin to rebuild? What's Chuck Fletcher looking for in his new coach? What's Chuck Fletcher looking for? And I'm asking myself, who says that Chuck Fletcher is going to be making these decisions? They aren't really going to bring him back, are they? And I mentioned it to you, and you said, that was part of Dave Scott's press conference. How can you possibly even think about retaining this guy when he's built this mess that you have on the ice every night? Look, clearly the coach has to go, and there's no question the coach is going to have to go. But how in the world can you keep Chuck Fletcher on to make the decision of who the next coach is going to be? How do you have any confidence in that?
I'll go higher. How do you keep Dave Scott on?
Yeah. I mean, to me, where this team
How do you want to go?
To me, that this team, where they are right now, and as backwards and inept as they are in every conceivable area, there's only one thing that you can even think about doing, which is you just got to clean house. I mean, everybody's got to go.
By the way, that season's not over yet.
Yeah, I know.
Just keep going and going and going.
One final hockey note. Have you seen what Florida's done since they got Giroux?
Yeah.
Their record?
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, they were like 12-1-1.
For him.
I mean, they might be the Stanley Cup favorite right now.
No. Good for him.
Good for him
is
right.
This is a Ray Bourque moment. 215-592-9494. Ray Didger, Glenn Macnow. One more segment, and we wrap it up. We hand over the Go Birds guys today. I didn't look at the schedule. Yes, sir. They will be on after us. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP. All right, last segment today, and before we go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what we forgot to talk about today, I want to rip ESPN, and Ray, not the first time.
No, it wouldn't
As
be the first
you
time.
Know, I believe ESPN is the big evil in sports that is responsible for many of the aspects of the businesses we cover that are deficient these days, including, by the way, they did a thing with Tom Brady recently.
Yeah.
This isn't my rant. This is the warm-up to my rant. This is the mini rant. They did a thing with Tom Brady recently, and they never asked him about what was with the retirement and the unretirement, and like, what about the stories that you were trying to go to Miami and maybe take part of the ownership of the team and play there, and what was the thing about Sean Payton? They never asked him any of that. None of it. None. You know why?
Why?
Because they got some business deal with him. You know, he does the Man in the Arena thing with them.
Right.
And he's got some other show that they're going to do, as does Gronkowski. So they can't ask him anything of substance. They have to softball it. Ray, it's evil. But here's the bigger evil of ESPN. Tomorrow you and I are until 1, which is great. I love the extra hour. I'd rather be doing that than whatever else I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, Sundays, we're doing the pregame for the Phillies at 12 o'clock.
Right.
No. Tomorrow happens to be the Fanatics' birthday, Ray.
Oh.
Huge event. Wait, why did you say that like that?
Well, no, I mean, that to me is that's incongruous. I mean, the Fanatics' birthday should be a day game so the kids can come.
Exactly. Tomorrow is the Fanatics' birthday. I have taken my kids when they were young to the Fanatics' birthday. It's a big event. He either comes down on a parachute or they got the Fanatics' mom. They ham it up, and it's a great event, and it's a great thing for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Fanatics' birthday is a night game tomorrow because ESPN said, no, we want the game at night. Move it. Unfortunately, you're not watching my finger with the dirty, hairy ESPN finger pushing the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just wrong. You don't make the Fanatics the game at night, a Fanatics birthday game at night.
No, you should.
It's unfair to the kids. Not that ESPN cares about the kids. Not that Major League Baseball cares about the kids. It's wrong.
I agree.
All right.
It's an outrage.
It is. It's a shame of a fraud of a mouth.
It's
of two
exactly
shams
what it
of,
is.
There you go.
I kind of wanted to pre-cue you on that.
Thank you. You set me up nicely. All right, let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what we forgot to talk about. And the first one, Ray, is golden.
Yeah. We'll start with that one there. I don't know if you, Ray, heard this quote from Ben Simmons yesterday. Ben Simmons finally did speak to the Brooklyn media.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was more or less, you know, how do you think the fit is going to look like just kind of throwing you in there in the middle of a series, you know, with Kyrie and KD? And Ray, here's his response.
We'll find out. It's a good challenge, but you know, I'm looking forward to it, especially playing with these guys. I think for me, my IQ is so high to, you know, play with guys like Kai and Seth and Kev. Just watch them. I know how they play. I know how they want to play. And for me to just, you know, get them in their spots and be a floor general, you know, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Marvel at the IQ, Ray. Marvel.
High IQ.
Ray. Here's... Well, you respond, and then I'll respond, because I know what I want to say.
Well, I find Ben Simmons the most annoying person in sports, and he's been that for some time. But I saw something that was written in one of the New York papers talking about Ben Simmons a couple weeks ago, and they're referring to his situation. And they said that The problem with Ben Simmons, and he they can understand his reluctance to play in Philadelphia because he was made the scapegoat. He was made the scapegoat for the Sixers' elimination in the playoffs last year.
He was made, was he?
Yeah. That Ben Simmons was made the scapegoat for the Sixers falling short in the playoffs last year. So he had nothing to do with it. They just blamed him for everything that went wrong.
All right. Here's my opinion on this. Anytime somebody can you just play the beginning of it? You know the part I want to hear. Just play the part I want to hear.
My IQ's so high.
There you go.
Right.
Anybody who has to tell you how smart they are is not smart.
Right.
Anybody who has to tell you how brilliant they are, how clever they are, whatever. If they feel the need to persuade you,
mm-hmm.
it's because they don't really believe they're that smart. But they want you to believe they're that smart. And so I think he's a fraud. I think he, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there. We wish disaster for him.
Of course.
Yeah. But it's just so in his nature. And I don't, you had to see it, right? He's wearing the sunglasses now mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the $20,000 jumpsuit that
right.
he's gone on, right? A tracksuit. And you know the jewelry and the whole thing and the that stoic facial expression that you just want to punch him in the mouth.
Right.
You know, my IQ is so smart that it's not going to be a problem. All right. Anyway, that was good.
I wish somebody had just followed up with him and said, "Oh, like, could you walk us through like passing that dunk off to Matisse Thybulle? What kind of calculations were you going through in your
always.
Head?"
That will always be the meme in this town. All right, what do you got next?
Unbelievable. All right, so this is more on a sad note. I wanted to kind of tee you up on this one. I'll take you back. I'll set this up with a clip here. This is the Stanley Cup Game 2, 1978, Montreal Canadiens versus the Boston Bruins.
Robinson au centre. Robinson à la fleur. C'est le but! C'est le but, Guy Lafleur!
So that was a French call there, Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, he even did it in French.
Yes. He just passed away yesterday at age 70. Glenn, I will...
I'll go quick and go to Ray because we both. So I grew up a Buffalo Sabres fan, as you know, and didn't particularly like the Canadians, but respected their greatness. But Guy Lafleur was one of those few guys who, even if he wasn't on your team, you would root for him. Was so compelling and exciting. This is before everybody wore helmets. I'm not advocating that. But gosh, Ray, watching Guy Lafleur zoom down the ice with his hair flying behind him was just so thrilling. And any game he was in was compelling.
It was. And he was, as you said, it was an era of hockey when most of the guys weren't wearing helmets, so you could recognize everybody, and they certainly had a distinctive look about them. And Lafleur had the look of the flowing hair, literally blowing in the wind because he skated that fast. And it sort of accentuated how fast he was. It sort of drove home the point that he was just faster than everybody else because he looked faster than everybody else. And what a great player he was. And I remember I was covering hockey back at that time, and the Flyers played their share of big games against the Canadians, and I remember they sent me down to do a piece about Guy Lafleur. And the thing I'll remember is when he showed up at the Montreal Forum for our scheduled interview, and he showed up right on time, he came in the door smoking a cigarette. I was not expecting
a little incongruous there.
I was not expecting that. Now, I knew that there had been references to him that he smoked, but I didn't expect him to come walking into the Forum smoking a cigarette. But he was typical of a lot of great players and hockey players. He was very, very soft-spoken and not a particularly good interview.
But my God, what a
great player.
A lot of hockey players were just happy to be here.
Yep.
All right, one more.
Okay, one more. So this was a little bit of news out of the Miami Heat camp last night. Kyle Lowry appeared to have injured his hamstring, putting his status for Game 4 a little bit in question. Now, there's a little bit of a ripple effect here as I see it. One, this is going to likely, you know, it could help extend the Hawks series. It was already extended last night with Atlanta's win. And that's a good thing, I think, for multiple reasons. Just because, one, I'm not sure how much rest will help in this case with Joel Embiid. But giving him another week off, if we do, in fact, pull off the sweep today, I think is going to be good for everybody. And also, just before this game, this series here, Doc Rivers mentioned that that week off sort of gave him an opportunity to have like a mini training camp and get all of the guys sort of together and in a rhythm. I think another week off could maybe work wonders for this team in getting them prepared for the Miami Heat series.
So you got the Kyle Lowry injury.
Yeah.
So Atlanta's going to take a couple games.
I hope so. Yeah.
Go seven.
Yeah.
Sixers get to relax. Yep. Embiid gets to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Doc gets to bond.
Yes.
All is well.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, you still think Miami wins the series.
The Atlanta series. Yeah. Yes. I do think they will end up pulling it off, but I'm just looking at it as the more rest, the better.
And by the way.
I agree with that, by the way.
Okay. It makes sense. And I'll just say this. I don't know that I want to see Atlanta again.
No.
I know it's a new year and the whole thing, but it's like... Yeah,
I would rather play the Heat. Yeah,
it's weird. I just Atlanta series last year, and Sixers are a different team now. But I don't know. Oh, that's good thinking. I like it. All right, there you go.
One before we wrap it up, Alex Ovechkin becomes the oldest NHL player to score 50 goals.
Ninth time
at age 36.
Ninth time he did it. Yeah,
yeah.
Great player.
Yep.
Although I think they should ban all Russians from the league right now, but that's a whole separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Dinger, you are going out to a book signing. Tell the people about it.
I am. I am on my way. When I leave here, I'm on my way up to Collegeville, lovely Collegeville.
All right, last segment today. And before we go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what we forgot to talk about today, I want to rip ESPN. And Ray, not the first time.
No,
as you know, I believe ESPN is the big evil in sports that is responsible for many of the aspects of the businesses we cover that are deficient these days.
Mm-hmm.
Including, by the way, they did a thing with Tom Brady recently.
Yeah.
This isn't my rant. This is the warm-up to my rant. This is the mini rant. They did a thing with Tom Brady recently, and they never asked him about what was with the retirement and the unretirement? And, like, what about the stories that you were trying to go to Miami and maybe take part of the ownership of the team and play there? And what was the thing about Sean Payton? They never asked him any of that. None of it. None. You know why?
Oh, why?
Because they got some business deal with him. You know, he does the Man in the Arena thing with them.
Right.
And he's got some other show that they're going to do, as does Gronkowski. So they can't ask him anything of substance. They have to softball it. Ray, it's evil. But here's the bigger evil of ESPN. Tomorrow you and I are on till 1, which is great. I love the extra hour. I'd rather be doing that than whatever else I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, Sundays, we're doing the pregame for the Phillies at 12 o'clock.
Right.
No. Tomorrow happens to be the Fanatics' birthday, Ray.
Oh,
huge event. Wait, why did you say that like that?
Well, no, I mean, that to me is that's incongruous. I mean, the Fanatics' birthday should be a day game so the kids can come.
Exactly. Tomorrow is the Fanatics' birthday. I have taken my kids when they were young to the Fanatics' birthday. It's a big event. He either comes down on a parachute or they got the Fanatics' mom. They ham it up, and it's a great event. And it's a great thing for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Fanatics' birthday is a night game tomorrow because ESPN said, no, we want the game at night. Move it. Unfortunately, you're not watching my finger with the dirty, hairy ESPN finger pushing the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just wrong. You don't make the Fanatics the game at night, the Fanatics' birthday game at night.
No, you should.
It's unfair to the kids. Not that ESPN cares about the kids. Not that Major League Baseball cares about the kids. It's wrong.
I agree.
All right.
It's an outrage.
It is. It's a shame of a fraud of a mouthery
it's
of two
exactly
shams
what it
of.
Is.
There you go.
I kind of wanted to pre-cue you on that.
Thank you. You set me up nicely. All right. Let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, and find out what we forgot to talk about. And the first one, Ray, is golden.
Yeah. We'll start with that one there. I don't know if you, Ray, heard this quote from Ben Simmons yesterday. Ben Simmons finally did speak to the Brooklyn media.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was more or less, you know, how do you think the fit is going to look like just kind of throwing you in there in the middle of a series, you know, with Kyrie and KD? And Ray, here's his response.
We'll find out. It's a good challenge, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it, especially playing with these guys. I think for me, my IQ is so high to you know, play with guys like Kai and Seth and Kev. Just watch them. I know how they play. I know how they want to play. And for me to just, you know, get them in their spots and be a floor general, you know, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Marvel at the IQ, Ray.
How about
Marvel.
High IQ.
Ray. Here's... Well, you respond, and then I'll respond, because I know what I want to say.
Well, I find Ben Simmons the most annoying person in sports, and he's been that for some time. But I saw something that was written in one of the New York papers talking about Ben Simmons a couple weeks ago, and they're referring to his situation. And they said that the problem with Ben Simmons, and they can understand his reluctance to play in Philadelphia because he was made the scapegoat. He was made the scapegoat for the Sixers' elimination in the playoffs last year.
He was made, was he?
Yeah. That Ben Simmons was made the scapegoat for the Sixers falling short in the playoffs last year. So he had nothing to do with it. They just blamed him for everything that went wrong.
All right. Here's my opinion on this. Anytime somebody can you just play the beginning of it? You know the part I want to hear. Just play the part I want to hear.
My IQ so high.
There you go.
Right.
Anybody who has to tell you how smart they are is not smart.
Right.
Anybody who has to tell you how brilliant they are, how clever they are, whatever, if they feel the need to persuade you, it's because they don't really believe they're that smart. But they want you to believe they're that smart. And so I think he's a fraud. I think I don't know what's going to happen there. We wish disaster for him.
Of course.
Yeah. But it's just so in his nature. And I don't, you had to see it, right? He's wearing the sunglasses now and the $20,000 jumpsuit that he's gone on, right? A tracksuit. And you know the jewelry and the whole thing and the that stoic facial expression that you just want to punch him in the mouth.
Right.
You know, my IQ is so smart that it's not going to be a problem. All right. Anyway, that was good.
I wish somebody had just followed up with him and said, "Oh, like, could you walk us through like passing that dunk off to Matisse Thybulle? What kind of calculations were you going through in your head?"
That will always be the meme in this town. All right, what do you got next?
Unbelievable. All right, so this is more on a sad note. I wanted to kind of tee you up on this one. I'll take you back. I'll set this up with a clip here. This is the Stanley Cup Game 2, 1978 Montreal Canadiens versus the Boston Bruins.
Robinson au centre. Robinson à la fleur. C'est le but! C'est le but, Guy Lafleur!
So that was a French call there, Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, he even did it in French.
Yes. He just passed away yesterday at age 70, Glenn. I will...
I'll go quick and go to Ray because we both. So I grew up a Buffalo Sabres fan, as you know, and didn't particularly like the Canadians, but respected their greatness. But Guy Lafleur was one of those few guys who, even if he wasn't on your team, you would root for him. Was so compelling and exciting. This is before everybody wore helmets. I'm not advocating that. But gosh, Ray, watching Guy Lafleur zoom down the ice with his hair flying behind him was just so thrilling. And any game he was in was compelling.
It was. And he was, as you said, it was an era of hockey when most of the guys weren't wearing helmets, so you could recognize everybody, and they certainly had a distinctive look about them. And Lafleur had the look of the flowing hair, literally blowing in the wind because he skated that fast. And it sort of accentuated how fast he was. It sort of drove home the point that he was just faster than everybody else because he looked faster than everybody else. And what a great player he was. And I remember I was covering hockey back at that time, and the Flyers played their share of big games against the Canadians, and I remember they sent me down to do a piece about Guy Lafleur. And the thing I'll remember is when he showed up at the Montreal Forum for our scheduled interview, and he showed up right on time, he came in the door smoking a cigarette. I was not expecting
a little incongruous there.
I was not expecting that. Now, I knew that there had been references to him that he smoked, but I didn't expect him to come walking into the Forum smoking a cigarette. But he was typical of a lot of great players and hockey players. He was very, very soft-spoken and not a particularly good interview. Well, but my God, what a great player.
A lot of hockey players were just happy to be here.
Yep.
All right, one more.
Okay, one more. So this was a little bit of news out of the Miami Heat camp. Last night, Kyle Lowry appeared to have injured his hamstring, putting his status for Game 4 a little bit in question. Now, there's a little bit of a ripple effect here as I see it. One, this is going to likely, you know, it could help extend the Hawks series. It was already extended last night with Atlanta's win. And that's a good thing, I think, for multiple reasons. Just because, one, I'm not sure how much rest will help in this case with Joel Embiid. But giving him another week off, if we do, in fact, pull off the sweep today, I think is going to be good for everybody. And also, just before this series here, Doc Rivers mentioned that that week off gave him an opportunity to have like a mini training camp and get all the guys sort of together and in a rhythm. I think another week off could maybe work wonders for this team in getting them prepared for the Miami Heat series.
So you got the Kyle Lowry injury.
Yeah.
So Atlanta's going to take a couple games.
I hope so. Yeah.
Go 7.
Yeah.
Sixers get to relax. Yep. Embiid gets to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Doc gets to bond.
Yes.
All is well.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, you still think Miami wins the series?
The Atlanta series. Yes. I do think they will end up pulling it off, but I'm just looking at it as the more rest, the better.
And by the way.
I agree with that, by the way.
Okay. It makes sense. And I'll just say this. I don't know that I want to see Atlanta again.
No.
I know it's a new year and the whole thing, but it's like... Yeah,
I would rather play the Heat. Yeah,
it's weird. I just Atlanta series last year, and Sixers are a different team now. But I don't know. Oh, that's good thinking. I like it. All right, there you go.
One before we wrap it up, Alex Ovechkin becomes the oldest NHL player to score 50 goals.
Ninth time
at age 36.
Ninth time he did it. Yeah,
yeah.
Great player.
Yep.
Although I think they should ban all Russians from the league right now, but that's a whole separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Dinger, you are going out to a book signing. Tell the people about it.
I am. I am on my way. When I leave here, I'm on my way up to Collegeville, lovely Collegeville, at